Cooper comes up, hits it. Yeah!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Farden!
Go, Cleach.
There's the goal!
Richie!
Hello and welcome to the official Scotland podcast ahead of these upcoming games against Costa Rica and Hungary. I'm joined today by two guys who certainly don't need any introduction, Ryan Fraser and John McGinn, and someone who, to be fair, probably does need an introduction, Kenny Miller, former journalist turned Scottish FA inside man. So you're here to keep us right. You're spelt differently from that, Kenny Miller, it must be said. Lots to get through today, guys. Couple of games coming up. The obvious difference with this squad, in case you hadn't noticed, I hope you have, is that there's a new manager. First impressions, I guess, last night. John, what did you make of him, meeting him for the first time, or certainly in these surroundings, catching up for the first time?
It's been good. Obviously very different, but he's a manager that the players respect, and he got that respect in the first meeting, and today's training session went well, so good first impressions, and I'm sure everyone's looking to impress.
Ryan, you had a team meeting last night, not really expecting you to give away the big secrets of the game plan, but what sort of thing is discussed then when a manager pulls you all together for the very first time?
He just went through the history of obviously Scotland when we were qualifying, and obviously the disappointments that we've went through in the last years of not qualifying. So he want us to get a little bit of a reminder about what it can feel like, moments when goals they scored, important moments, which was, I think, was nice because it obviously gives everyone goosebumps, and it just gets that positive feeling into the lads going into obviously these games.
It was a good tactic to start off, John. Did it let everyone know sort of what's at stake when you come here and join up?
No, I think when you, me and Ryan have sort of been on the fringes of things in the past campaign, and you see how disappointed all the lads were after losing, just missing out on the playoffs. So it makes you hungry to go and succeed, and I'm sure myself and all the other lads are really keen to be the first Scotland team to qualify for a major tournament in a long time.
Kenny, like I say, obviously we do now have the new manager in place. What will Alex McLeish bring then?
I think he's brought a work ethic, first and foremost. He's been a regular face at Hampden ever since he was appointed. I think it means a lot to people up here that he's been a regular face around the games. I think that goes a long way with people if he drags himself out of the house on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday to go and cast an eye over players firsthand. I think he brings a lot of personality. I think the players will enjoy working with him. And I think he's brought a bit of imagination as well, because it's a new-look squad, some fresh faces. Obviously, I've seen a lot of people like Ollie McBurney, Scott McKenna from the 21s, so it's nice to see some of those boys being rewarded.
6 months or so on from the last campaign, I mean, fairly obvious that it ended in disappointment. What are the main things you can take away from it then? You still got positives that you can take from that time and carry forward?
I think it was mentioned, I think the Holland game was the only game we got beat that year. So we can try and take the positives. I think we played pretty well that night, and after a sloppy start in the campaign, we managed to finish strongly. Obviously, it wasn't enough, but I think we started to see signs of improvement and signs that the future is bright, and hopefully we can get Hampden a fortress again and hopefully get teams to fear us again.
Ryan, there's a bigger picture here as well, of course. Understandably, the headline act, if you like, is the new manager coming in, but it's a whole new backroom staff, even things like an increased reliance on performance analysis and stuff like that. Is that something you feel can be beneficial, something you're all keen to buy into?
Yeah, I mean, since I've been coming up the age groups, it's always been... It's been there, but maybe for the first team, we haven't maybe done as much as what we could have done. With GPS units, just the small things, that everything, that little edges that sometimes every team has, the Premier League teams have it, and I think if we can have it, it gives us that little bit of extra that we can go and play the big teams, and gives us that extra yard, extra pace, I don't know, that can help us. So I think having all this is definitely going to help us.
Because John, Graham Jones is the head of high performance, I think, along with Malky Mackay and the manager. The idea seems to be, so that there are no excuses for you guys, so to speak. They put everything in place, and then it's over to you to go and perform.
The thing Malky said last trip, it was the small margins. I think countries like Iceland and other countries like that have started to adapt it, and it shows you that just because we're a small nation, it doesn't mean that we can't compete physically, and we might not have the same genetic strength or speed, but we've got to work that wee bit harder to get up to speed with them. So they're giving us every opportunity, and we've got brilliant tools this week to use to try and make us better, and we're going to use them.
Kenny, in terms of it being the first game, or first game this time around, certainly for Alex McLeish, I know it's only a friendly, and people will say, oh, you know, meaningless friendlies is a word you sometimes hear, but especially when it's the start of a new era, if you like, for the team, how important is it to start well here and try and build some momentum?
I don't think you really get, it's maybe a cliche, you don't get meaningless games when you pull on a Scotland shirt, and momentum's obviously important. Listen, there's no point in trying to kid anyone on. There's not a single managerial appointment that wouldn't have drawn some criticism. Everybody's so opinionated. Same with a squad announcement. The first question is always, well, why is he not in?
Who's not in it?
But I think what we've shown in this country is that it doesn't take much for the entire country to unite behind the team. We've seen it before key games in the last few years. The Scotland fans are so dedicated and so desperate for qualification that if they see things are moving in the right direction, then everybody pulls in the one direction, and I think that's what we all want.
Now, a bit of an injury update, obviously, was Kieran Tierney and Russell Martin dropping out. Jack Hendry has been called into the squad. John, how do you feel about the strength of the current group? There's obviously some new faces, or guys like yourselves who are not new faces as such, but maybe haven't been around as long as some of the more experienced guys. How are you feeling about the overall group at the moment?
There's a good mix. I think there's a freshness which every manager would say is needed in a new campaign. There's players like myself and Ryan that have had a wee taste of it, and we want more. So there's a lot of fresh faces, a lot of people that just missed out. So it shows that the future of Scottish football is strong, and there's a lot of people that could still be called upon, especially Jack coming in with injuries. So there's a lot of people out there, and everyone's competitive and looking to hold that jersey.
And what's it like for you, Ryan, coming back up here and perhaps being in a squad with guys that you've just quite simply not seen a lot of recently, not come up against, pleasantly surprised by some of the guys that you've maybe not encountered too often recently?
Yeah, I mean, everyone plays at a good standard, so, and I think everyone playing with each other can, I think, we just all play better with each other. I think if the more we train, I think the new gaffer here, everything's more relaxed, and I think, I don't know, it's just going in the right direction for me. And I think when we go out and training, I don't think we can use that as an excuse. I think we're all good enough to play with each other. We'll help each other out. And I think what John was touching on there, the freshness, I think we did need that. We had a lot of experience in the last maybe campaign where I think the young lads coming through, I think can maybe give us that extra bit of legs and help. And I think we've got a good mix now with a new manager, and I think, yeah, we're just going in the right direction now.
Now, Kenny, this is your big chance, your expert insight into Costa Rica. I want everything. I want to know what they're going to bring, what type of challenge, formation, the lot.
I think, without giving too much away, Costa Rica are going to be along usual lines.
Right. Could you care to elaborate?
Listen, I could. we could talk about this off air.
In all
seriousness, Costa Rica are in World Cup mode. Let's not pretend otherwise. They're going to be treating this seriously. And I think that maybe rubs off on the occasion itself, because if any supporter or player in the Scotland squad's under the misapprehension, it's going to be a friendly. Well, these guys won't treat it like a friendly, so you would expect it to be combative.
How beneficial do you think it is, John, playing? Because international football in itself is obviously a step up and provides different challenges, but again, when it's a team from then out with Europe, different styles, you know, is that beneficial for you guys in your progression?
I can only speak for a personal point of view, and I've never played a team from South America, so it's going to be a strange one for me, but hopefully I can get my backside into them and fling them a wee bit and see if they enjoy it.
That's a technical term, I think, fling them a wee bit. I'm not sure they'll have heard of that, but Ryan, then you obviously go to Hungary. Give us a bit of an insight into what it's like travelling with the team and what that's, everything that goes into it, because as a fan or someone from the outside, you really only see the match day, but what's the overall experience like?
No, it's just getting the preparation right. I think the togetherness of the week leading up to it is massive as well. Not to be individuals, everyone just be a team. Get on the flight, just don't interact with just your little groups. I mean, a lot of places where I go, there's sometimes little groups and you don't maybe interact with other lads that you probably should. But I think here, I think you just need to just do everything and get to know everyone. And I think Hungary away will be a good test. But I just think it's just something you just need to go and enjoy. And I think friendlies, you can think, oh, it's all about just learning the way we're going to play. But I think we need to go in and try and win the match and just show that we mean business.
What's the balance like when you go away between training and doing the serious stuff, but also perhaps a bit of downtime as well?
It's just avoid Jason Cummins at all costs, basically.
Is he the problem child in the group, is he?
Started, he's a wee bit immature, doesn't get it much. Bad hairstyle, bad tattoos, bad jokes. Good finisher, but that's about it.
Keeping you on your toes, though.
Nah, he's trying to be funny, but he's still not quite there yet.
Now, obviously, at the end of the year, Kenny Peru in Mexico. Another challenge again. We talk about styles, talk about travelling experiences for these guys. That, again, I know it's an end of season friendly, but again, that's going to be a crucial learning experience, isn't it?
I think the other home nations have experimented with trips like that in the past, and they've spoken of the benefits. And listen, whether it's the first squad that are named or a few have to come in to bolster it, it's going to be a great opportunity for some people to take a chance that they might not otherwise get. And I always think with every friendly, there's always one name that maybe stakes a claim that maybe wasn't a guaranteed pick before. So, no, it's going to be a great opportunity for someone.
John, I'm sure you won't mind me saying that the boys from Clydebank don't tend to go to Peru on their summer holidays. Is that something you're looking forward to, a different challenge at the end of the season?
Nah, I used to go to Arbroath, so...
Close?
I've never been to, as I said, I've never been to... I've never played against a South American team, and I've never been to South America, so looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a massive privilege to play for Scotland whenever called upon, so whether it's in January or in June, I'm sure a lot of the boys will be ready to go and hopefully try and add to the caps that we've already got and try and stake a claim. It's an opportunity maybe for guys that aren't playing Champions League football and have a bit more time in the summer. To go and try and hold on to the jersey, and that's what we'll be looking to do.
Because Ryan, the thing is, the Nations League has now been introduced, it's just around the corner, so you would have to imagine that those games at the end of the season are an ideal chance to play your way into Nations League contention.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think every game that you go into now for Scotland, I think there can't be guaranteed starters. I think every time that you can get a chance on the pitch, you need to go and try and show the new gaffer that you want to stake a claim. And I think that's what every young player needs to do, and I think obviously, for me personally, I haven't played a lot. I've come to quite a few squads, but I haven't played as much as I want to play. So I think definitely these two games coming up, I want to try and start the game or play some part and just try and stake that claim. And at the end of the season, I think obviously you go away and you try and have a good end of the season with the club, which is important as well, and keep your fitness and just do everything professionally and then come back and hopefully just stake a claim, and that's what it's about.
Which one of you wants to explain from start to finish the Nations League and all the permutations for those listening at home that don't know?
So we've got Israel and Albania.
Good start, yeah.
And if we beat the two of them twice, then we've got a playoff, I'm sure.
You happy with that?
That's the only way we need to look at it. We don't need to overcomplicate it. If anyone does want to read in depth, there's a great explainer on the New Look Scottish FA website. That's my obligatory plug. But John said all that needs to be said on the matter. Win the games and it's an extra chance to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, it starts in September, obviously. We're in the group of three. Israel and Albania are going to play them home and away. That must be quite... Well, certainly it's a new concept, but it must be an exciting prospect, John, that you can actually nail down a playoff spot before the traditional qualifying campaign even comes around.
It's another incentive for us. It's another opportunity for us to get closer to that tournament. So we can only look at it as a positive. I know it's had a lot of criticism, but as players, it gives us another opportunity to go and play more for your country and hopefully get us to that tournament. So two tricky ties. Well, is it four tricky ties? But two tricky teams. So it's one we're all looking forward to, and I'm sure the other nations are looking forward to it as well.
Quite keen to find out a bit more about your guys' international career so far and how you think it's been and what you think lies ahead. Ryan, for instance, I think it's pretty much a year since you got your first call-up. You've managed a couple of caps in that time. Overall, what's it been like to be involved at this level?
It's been obviously delighted to get picked for Scotland, but I think when you come away, it doesn't matter how young you are, I think you want to play, and I don't think I've played as much as I've obviously wanted to play without getting too much into it. And it's frustrating, but as a young player, you just need to, I'm not young anymore, but you need to bide your time. But yeah, I think now I need to start kicking on and start pushing for that spot, because every game that I miss is obviously one that I need to play, I want to play. And I think, yeah, it's been frustrating for me missing out. I think I could have played maybe a little bit bigger part in the qualification last time round, but I maybe didn't get the chance to, but that's obviously down to the manager of what he thought about me. He might have not maybe wanted to play me in certain games. So I think I need to change this gaffer's mind and hopefully maybe get into starting 11.
Now, you made your debut against England.
Yeah.
It's not a bad kick. I think, and have I made this up, you won one of those free kicks, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Was it a dive?
Was it? But talk about, you know, a baptism of fire, international debut on that stage.
Yeah.
It maybe didn't end quite the way we wanted it to, but what was that like?
No, I was a nervous wreck. I mean, I don't normally get nervous down with my club, Bournemouth, but...
You're like shaking the nerve.
No, I get goosebumps thinking about the game, and the lead up to the game was massive, obviously, on TV and the occasion of it, and then to go and obviously play a part in it and get the free kick and seeing the two goals scoring, but the disappointment at the end was still brilliant for me. But yeah, obviously I wanted to play a lot more after that. It didn't happen, but I think for that occasion, it's always a young lad's dream to go and play in games like that.
I've no idea if this was deliberate or not, but it's, you know, it's a year since your first call-up. It's nearly 2 years to the day since your debut against Denmark. Man of the match as well. Can you remember what was going through your head that night?
I remember. I remember the team getting announced in the morning. I was shocked that I was playing, but I think it was, at that point, it was a good chance for the manager to experiment. And things managed to go all right that night. Christian Eriksen was playing with the handbrake on, so that helped me a wee bit. And things managed to go alright, and thankfully I've managed to stay in the majority of squads. Obviously I'm aware that the midfield area is a very strong one for Scotland, so I've just had to try and impress and cling on people's toes to see if I can get a chance, and I feel as if every chance I've had I've managed to take. So thankfully I'm in this squad and hopefully try and get more starts than sub appearances.
How do you feel you've developed as a player since then?
Yeah, I think I've got better. It's helped that there's been a lot of success at club level. But with moving on so much as a club, you're playing in bigger games and learning so much. So as long as you're playing well for your club, getting better all the time, the international setup doesn't miss you. So it's been great for me to play a lot of games with Hibs and keep developing going away for Scotland.
I suppose this is one for both of you, and particularly you, John, because you captained the 21s, but you've both played at youth level for Scotland. How helpful is that when you're sort of coming through the system?
It's good. That I was a bit nervous. I think Hungary away was the first time I was getting a bit of stick for the boys, but I think eventually I managed to deal with it all right. You just need to treat everyone normally. You kind of get too carried away with it. It's a massive honour leading out your country's team, whatever age group it is. And you just got to be there for the players, try and be that stopgap if anyone's getting issues and try and help everyone out. But you kind of please everyone, but you just got to try and do the best you can, and I feel it went all right.
Do you still look back on your youth career with Scotland, Ryan, as a key part of your learning experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was at Aberdeen, I didn't maybe hit the under-17 Scotland age groups, but and then obviously got a couple at 19s and then played quite a bit for the 21s. So I think it does help. I think you get to know the setup, which is massive here, because I think it's important that from the first team it runs down to the 21s, to the 19s, and I think the same philosophy of football, which is massive, because you don't want to play one style and then come up to the first team and play a completely different style. So I think we've done that well here. And I think, yeah, it's just, like John says, when you see the lads, like we've seen the 21s out there, they're staying in the same hotel, you can't be big time and ignore them. Do you know what I mean? You were there as a player once and you just want to help them as well, and hopefully we'll be playing with each other soon.
Had relative success down the age groups recently, Kenny. How important is that continuity? That Ryan sort of summed it up quite nicely there, but from away from the players' perspective, how important is that we managed to create some sort of progression there?
I think we've had some big scalps in the last calendar year. I think we've had Brazil, we've had Spain, we've had the Netherlands under 21 level, so things are clearly moving in the right direction. But I think I was in Belgium with the two of you, maybe under 19 level, and it's always great to see some of the boys that managed to make that progression. I mean, there's other ones obviously that will fall away and they've still got these memories, but I think going away, experiencing these games, a quick turnaround, maybe every second or third day, just a tournament atmosphere. Personally, I think when, not if they qualify for the Euros and World Cups, I think they'll be able to look back on that just for the experience, even dealing with the boredom and wee things like that, recovery. I think it's crucial experience. I don't think it's any coincidence the countries that tend to win these things are well represented in the youth competitions.
John, you spoke about your sort of pride there at leading out the country for the 21s. Are you the type of character that sees himself as a future Scotland captain?
You would hope so. It's something you dream about, you're in the back garden imagining it. I think that's only normal, so it's something you aim for. Sometimes it happens. I think players will see it come and go and it won't happen, and you always hope, but the main thing is you're involved for your country, and that's amazing in itself. So if one day I manage to get it, even just for 10 minutes, if the captain gets subbed, then I'd be happy.
Kenny, for everyone's sake, I'm going to plead with you to put your Hibs bias to one side just for a couple of minutes. I don't think anyone wants to hear it, but what does John bring to this group, to the team in particular?
I think, without trying to sound too creepy, I think he's got the most effective backside in Scottish football. It's Blair Olsen might disagree after the other night.
No
comment from me on that.
He draws. I didn't say maybe the most aesthetically pleasing, but the most effective.
Right, okay.
I said he wins some number of free kicks. He's good at shielding the ball. On a serious note, without giving him an even bigger head, he's adopted a lot of. He's taken on a lot of responsibility at Hibs. He takes the ball in tight areas. He offers great drive. I actually think him and Dylan have had a great understanding in the middle of the park, which would be nice to see that replicated for the national team. He is a player who, at least on the park, is mature beyond his years. He's had a great time of it at Hibs.
Ryan, what's life been like for you recently at Bournemouth?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, we won at the weekend, which was massive for us, so we're pretty much safe, to be honest with you. But I don't think for us as a team, we didn't look to be safe at the start of the season. We want to be higher than that. We finished ninth or something last season. And I think as a club, we're just looking upwards. We don't want to be one of them where you're always thinking, right, we're going to stay up this season. We've done targets at the start of the season that was all about either winning the FA Cup, winning the Cup, or progressing past the 42-point mark that we got last season. So I think as a club, we're going in the right direction. Personally wise, I had a good a slow start to the season, let's just say. And then through the middle part, I had a very good bit. And maybe the last couple of games, I haven't played as much. I think it's three games I haven't played. So, but for me, the games before that, I was playing well. I was scoring goals, getting assists, especially against the big teams as well, like Chelsea's and stuff like that. So, I'm enjoying it.
How helpful is it to be operating at that level in terms of bringing your own game on? I mean, for instance, who's the toughest opponent you've come up against, and how much are these experiences improving you?
Yeah, I mean, every week it's just, there's never an easy opponent. You come up against the Kyle Walkers, who you think you might get a yard past them, and they're so quick and powerful that they just get back, and you're thinking, wow, it's going to be a long day. But I think it has helped me coming against all these big players. I think sometimes in some leagues you can have a quiet game, but I think in the Premier League, if you have a quiet game, then you just get pelted for it. I think you just can't have one, to be honest with you. And I think it just helps you as a player, because when you're coming up against these big players, I think just that experience, and I think it'll help me in, if I get played here, I think it'll help me as well, obviously, coming against big players. And I think in the big games, you need that experience, and you can't go and be nervous and stuff like that. You need to impose your game on them, which I think I'm developing well.
Now, you mentioned Kyle Walker and guys who are, you know, the flying machines down there. You're not exactly a slouch yourself, but I understand that it runs in the family. The speed comes from your mum.
Yeah, right? She used to run for Scotland. She's quick, you know.
You give her a run for your money.
I'll tell you, she's probably still giving me a good rest, to be honest with you. She's had a lot of injuries and stuff like that.
What about your mum and Kyle Walker? That'd be a good rest.
Yeah, it'd be a good rest. Yeah. No, but she's rapid.
Could you set that up, do you think, as a Scottish FA video feature, Kyle Walker against Ryan Fraser's mum?
Sounds like one for the Snapchat.
Things the wrong way. I'll keep them two away from each other. I think
just move on quickly.
moving swiftly on, as they say. Kenny, obviously Ryan's operating at that high level in the English Premier League. Andrew Robertson's getting rave reviews all the time there. Scott McTominay's involved in the squad this time around. As much as we've got guys who are playing well in our game, north of the border, how good is it to see guys doing the business down there as well?
Yeah, we maybe went through a lean period where we didn't have as many players operating at that level, so it is encouraging to see. I'm always heartened by stories like Ryan. I don't think there's one way to make it as a Scotland player. I remember Ollie McBurney was written off and criticised when he was in the 19s. Who is this kid that's all over at Newport County? Why is he there? He's done it the hard way. Ryan, I think, if you've been honest, he was criticised for leaving Aberdeen. Maybe instead of staying and playing 200-300 games, he's going to waste away. Well, he proved people wrong. Andy Robertson, we all know his story. So as nice as it is to see a few of these guys making it in England, I love the fact that some of them have proved a few people wrong along the way.
You both, in the last however long we've been chatting, half an hour or so, you seem pretty relaxed. You seem like you're enjoying your time away. What's it like when you come away in terms of what goes on behind the scenes, the stuff that you can tell us about? I mean, what is it, PlayStations, Netflix, I don't know, coffee? Very civilised, by the way, when you brought that in. But I mean, what is it for you? Is it games, consoles, Netflix, I don't know?
Well, I'm a serial sleeper. Dylan calls me the bear. So see, we share a flat and I just love sleeping, but the game Fortnite's come out, and I'm sure, as you see with Callum Celebrations, there's a few boys on that.
See, I've heard about this and I'm actually quite ashamed to say I don't actually know what it is. Do you care to?
All before your time.
I don't think so.
No, it's a game, in fact, you can't even describe it, can you? Jump out a hot air balloon, you've got an axe, you basically build forts.
Build wood on the air and stuff like that.
There's a lot of guns and shooting involved.
Sounds great.
It's class, but you've got everyone's got their own things to keep themselves busy. You can go down to the pool. Some days we've got a double session, and other players like to just go to the room and hang out with themselves, to be honest.
I think that's another point to move swiftly on. Ryan, just to round things off for us, what's the main thing you're looking to take away from this international break?
I think playing.
A few underarmers for all.
Some free kit. I just think I'm just getting to know the lads. I want, obviously, we haven't been with each other under the new manager for long, so we obviously want to know the philosophy we're going to play. Obviously, we know behind it the work ethic he's obviously went over, and to give 100% and do all the right things. But on the ball, I want to know how we're going to play and stuff like that, and how just enjoy it really.
Right, before we wrap up now, we usually do the pick your Scotland starting 11 on the podcast, but I think this is good. This is a bit different. I'm going to ask you, all three of you, pick your Scotland five-a-side team. Now, it can be past, present, anything you like. I want your ultimate Scotland five-a-side team.
John McGinn can't spell his own name.
He's scribbling away.
No, I scribbled myself.
And Ryan doesn't look too sure about any of this, quite frankly. So Kenny,
he's got six names.
We'll give him a couple of extra minutes. Let's see what you've come up with.
Right.
And you need to explain your choices, by the way.
So these are only really people I've seen growing up. So I'm going to discount everybody that's achieved great things in the past. Right, Craig Gordon in goal, great reflexes, good with his feet. Christian Daly, I stole that one off our digital guru, Michael Bokel. He's got unbelievable stamina. He'd just be one of these annoying guys that would chase you all over the pitch. Okay. Scott Brown, same thinking. He's the type that would bash into the boards. Every good fives team needs one of them. John Collins, for a bit of guile, a bit of creativity. And Lee Griffiths, I think we just... fathom it from all angles.
Two, three with a Hibs connection out of the five.
Well,
unsurprising.
I did try and crowbar Lou Stevenson in, but under 21s don't count apparently.
Moving swiftly on to yours, John.
In goals, we've got Jim Leighton, Scottish under 21 goalkeeping coach legend.
I heard he was
meant to be a good goalkeeper.
I remember.
He's not just the under 21 coach, you're aware of that, yeah?
Aye, no, I know, he was class. We used to see videos of him all the time, but he got us a free dinner one night in Aberdeen, so...
He's a good set of teeth, isn't he?
Then we've got Christian Daly. That's try and get my curls off him. He's captain. He was a utility man. Then Lambert's just nicked in front of me there. He was class.
He's actually got himself on his own five-a-side, scribbled out Lambert.
Paul Lambert. And I've got Pro Evolution legend, my favourite Scotland player, Nigel Quashie.
Other computer games are available.
Fair enough.
No, it was Pro Evo back in the day. He had the hardest shot.
Did he?
He played with West Brom at the time.
I'll take your word for it.
And Don Hutchison. He could drop back, he'd be good at fives. But I've got Frank Lealy as manager and Willie Neal as assistant.
I like that. That's detailed. I did not expect to see Nigel Quashie. No offence to him or anything. I didn't expect it.
No,
it's
Nigel
Quashie. He's just one free kick.
It's not a sook. I don't think Nigel Quashie knows who I am or anything. But he was good on Pro Evo. I wasn't convinced he was Scottish when I was younger, but he was. And Frank Riley will organise the trips, and Willie will get the water bottles on.
Ryan, bring some sense to this if you can.
Yeah, I went for a Jim Leighton. He was obviously the coach when I was at Aberdeen, and obviously the games he played in back in the day. He was just a very good goalkeeper. Colin Hendry, World Cup captain. Premier League winner, and just good defender, really. Graham Souness.
Because he plays you on Super Sunday.
Graham Souness.
If only I could get Mikey Stewart in there.
He was a good player, wasn't he?
Great thighs.
Yeah. Didn't look at his thighs, to be fair. But
powerhouse, midfield powerhouse, speaking of the game of fives.
Jimmy Johnston, obviously he's small and nimble like myself. Just same type of player, tries to go past people, gets fans off their seats.
You compared yourself to Jimmy Johnston, that's some claim.
Yeah, he's probably a little bit better. and James McFadden, obviously, just the goal that he scored against France, and just memories of watching that game myself. And obviously he's here now, so I need to get a game, and hopefully he'll give me a game now.
Who's your manager?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bold from the guys both leaving Alex McLeish out. That would have been a good tactic to include, if you ask me. But listen, I don't judge.
No, we don't know what to get Dale's off the boys.
Yeah, no, you can't suck up too
and
much.
Christian Daly could play in all sorts of positions.
This is true. You need one of them at fives as well, don't you?
Right back, left back, centre back, centre mid, up front. Christian's the man.
I think that pretty much brings things to a close here on the Official Scotland Podcast. A few pieces of housekeeping that I'm sure you're going to be interested in. If you do fancy going along to see the boys in action, Scotland against Costa Rica on Friday night, the tickets are on sale at the moment. You can get yours tickets.scottishfa.co.uk. Good pricing structure as well, I'm sure you'll agree. The tickets cost £5 for children and from £15 for adults. Now, it's the first Friday night international at Hampden for a good few years, Kenny. Under the lights.
Yep.
Great occasion, I'm sure you'll agree.
I've been at games on a Friday night the last 2 weeks, and it's been more good than bad, so...
Absolutely. Safe travels, I think it goes without saying, to all the fans going to the Costa Rica game at Hampden and especially over to Budapest for Tuesday. You will be able to watch the Hungary game live on the BBC. Kickoff is 7 p.m. for that one, so a bit earlier than the usual midweek fixture. If you are a Scotland Supporters Club member and have purchased a Scotland End ticket for the game, please check your emails regarding a 100% pickup. Also, if you haven't yet renewed your Scotland Supporters Club membership, you have until Saturday the 31st of March to renew that and secure your loyalty points as well. Of course, if you're not a member and you fancy it, then join online tickets.scottishfa.co.uk. Bear with me, I'm almost there. And as a Scotland Supporters Club member, you receive ticket discounts, priority access to home and away tickets, along with a number of discounts, including 15% off at JD Sports. There's one more bullet point.
Yeah,
are you happy for me to go with it? Are you sure?
No, sure.
You've changed.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Finally, if you haven't listened already to the... They're interrupting me and everything, honestly.
Sorry.
If you haven't listened already to the other recorded podcast we already have with the new manager, Alex McLeish, and one of the new coaches, James McFadden, you can find them on the Scotland National Team YouTube page or whatever platform you prefer to listen to your podcasts on.
Cooper comes up, hits it. Yeah!
Oh, my God! What a goal! What a goal by McFadden!
McLeish. There's the goal! Richie!